Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're looking at the evidence of Christ in our lives.
When you love God, people shouldn't be forcing you to try to live for God, because when you love God, you want to live for God. You want more of Him. You want to please Him, follow Him, worship Him, get into the Word. Why? Because you love God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute, both in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, there are a lot of things that go into a courtroom trial. Witnesses give testimony, attorneys make their points, a judge determines a verdict. But none of that would be possible without one thing, and that's evidence. There has to be something concrete that says, this is what happened. And Mark, you say, in our lives, there needs to be evidence that we are Christians.
Yeah, and Jesus was very clear about it. He didn't say, you will know them by the big Bible they carry, although the Bible's important, or you'll know them by the church bumper sticker on their car, although that's great. He said, you will know them by their love. The greatest sign of someone being a follower of Jesus is that we love God and we love others. And John makes that very clear, that loving God is not just a feeling, it's obeying His commands.
Yeah. This is not just your thinking. This comes from God's Word, doesn't it? 1 John chapter 5.
Straight out of the Word.
Let's talk about spiritual evidence. Here's Mark Job.
It seems like people in John's day were asking this question, well, how do I know who's truly a follower of God and who's not? I mean, there's a lot of people that can come to church and sit in a pew. How do I know whether someone is truly born again, a follower of Jesus Christ, and if they're not, what is the evidence that tells me that someone is or is not? I think that sometimes Christians get a bad rap because there's a lot of people that claim to be Christians that aren't really Christians. Just because you were born into a family and baptized when you were a baby, or because you went to Sunday school somewhere as a child, that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you were born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. Just because your Facebook status says Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you go to a hospital and they say, well, what religion are you? As you're filling out the forms, you say Christian. That doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you have a Bible next to your bed at night or a crucifix hanging on your wall, that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you have a tattoo of a cross on your shoulder, that doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you consider yourself to be follow a brand of religion within Christianity doesn't make you a Christian. You can come here and say, well, I'm Catholic, or I'm Baptist, or I'm Assembly of God, well, I'm Methodist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Lutheran. Those things don't make you a Christian. And so I think in John's day, people were asking, well, how do I know who's really a Christian and who's not a Christian? And so I've entitled this message, Spiritual Evidence, because John really addresses that question of how, and I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm not going to ask you to try to judge anybody else, because it's real easy to try to think of your husband or your neighbor or your aunt. Tell me, Pastor, I'm going to figure out if they're Christian or not. No. This is for you to figure out your life. So this is for you to test yourself, not someone else right now. But it also helps give you a spiritual discernment. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one that came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is this Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. So John is answering this question of, hey, how do we know for sure that we're believers? And so he's telling us that you have to look at the evidence of your life to really see if you are an authentic follower of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to pick it up here, and I'm going to give you the first evidence that John talks about. He talks about the evidence of love and obedience. Notice what he says in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone... So the first thing that has to happen is that you cannot be a Christian unless, first of all, that you believe that Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, virgin birth, that Jesus is actually the Christ. Well, I thought Christ was his middle name. No. Christ means Messiah or Savior. So in order to be a Christian, you have to first of all believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the one who came with a purpose to save us. You cannot be a Christian and deny Christ. You can't say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I just don't believe in Jesus. No. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Christian who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you're a Christian, you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You have to believe that he is the Savior, that he came, that he is the way to God, that there is no alternative way to God, because if there were alternative ways of God, Jesus would not have to come. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, is born of God. And how many of you have heard the term born again? Before, you heard that term born again? How many of you have said, I have no idea what it means? I hear it thrown around. You know, companies are born again. People are born again. So what exactly does it mean really in the Christian realm? Jesus is the one that invented that term, being born again. And it's found in John chapter 3. He's talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to a religious man that thought he was right with God because he was religious and went to church, the synagogue. And Jesus says to him, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, I don't know what that means. I mean, I was born once. And Jesus said, whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. The first time you were born was when you were born physically as this little naked baby that came out screaming. They slapped you, cut the umbilical cord, and named you something. You may not like the name they gave you, but hey, you're stuck. So use your middle name. And so you're this little baby. That was your first birth. Somewhere down the road, if you're going to be into the kingdom of God and be a child of God, you have to have a second birth. The first birth is physical. The second birth is spiritual. If you only have one birth, your physical birth, you are not a child of God and you're not entering the kingdom of God. You have to have somewhere down the road a second birth, and that's why it's called being born again. The second birth could happen at 15, could happen at 12, could happen at 45, could happen at 85. But it means that you come to a point in life where you realize that you cannot save yourself, that you need a Savior, that you acknowledge that your life doesn't belong to you, and you come to the end of yourself and invite Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, your cleanser, the master of your life. The Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you are born a second time spiritually. Now, if you're 45, you look in the mirror, you're going to look 45 still. We don't rewind the clock. But there's something that happens spiritually inside of you. You're new spiritually, like a baby that starts walking, born again. So here's what this passage says. Everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the child. So if you're born of God, you love your father. The way that you love your father, who gives you a love for the father, is that the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, you start loving the things of God. You start loving the Father. And here's what he says. Whoever loves the Father loves his child as well. Who's the child of the Father? Who's the Son of God? Jesus. You love the Father, you love the Son. Listen, this is how we know that we love the children of God. John's big theme throughout 1 John is that if you are a Christian, you are going to love the people of God and you're going to obey the commands of God. That's not what makes you a Christian. That is the evidence of being a Christian. Are you tracking with me? You don't become a Christian by loving people and following commands. No one becomes a Christian that way. That would be a work salvation. You cannot work your way into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God and eternal life is a gift that's given to us by grace through faith. But if you are truly a Christian, you're going to love God. And you're going to love the people of God. And you're going to obey God. And that's what John tells us. He says, this is how we know that we love the children of God. Have you ever wondered sometimes when we talk about love, we'll love your neighbor, and you wonder, well, how do I know if I love my neighbor or not? So if you go by the Hollywood definition, if you feel sort of warm, fuzzy feelings, you would say, I'm feeling like I love people. And if you feel nothing, you're saying, I don't think I love them. God's definition of love is different than the Hollywood definition of love. That's why when you marry someone, you shouldn't marry someone based on feelings. I talked to a couple, why do you want to marry? I just love her. Okay, tell me what you mean. Well, I just feel love. Well, that's a bad reason, because here's what's going to happen. In 2 years, you're going to come to me and say, I don't feel anything, so now I can get rid of her, right? Because I don't feel love. Love is more than a feeling. Love is much more than a feeling. Much more than a feeling. I'm so glad it's much more than a feeling. Because when the Bible says that God loves us, I don't want God to wake up one day grouchy and thinking, I'm going to wipe out the world because I don't feel real good today. No, no, no. God is committed to our good. Feelings accompany love. But love is much deeper than a feeling.
And we'll continue this message from Mark Job, titled Spiritual Evidence, in just a moment. First, if you haven't already, be sure to sign up for our weekly email devotional. It's called the Bold Stepper Weekly. And Mark, let me ask you, why do you spend the time and effort to put this encouraging devotional into the hands of our listeners?
You know, Wayne, we all live in a world that just knocks the faith out of us easily. I mean, it's attacking our faith. It's punching us. It's watering down. And I think anything that we can do to give a boost of confidence, a look to Jesus. And we've heard from so many of our listeners that both the program and the devotionals help them look to Jesus, start the week off by looking to Jesus. So we do this to encourage you, because we know that life is tough. And we know that most of you are in very, very secular settings, and this encourages you in your walk with God. So it's one of our ways of saying, come on, take a bold step and live for Jesus this week.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing it. Lots of people are adding their name for this free weekly devotional, the Bold Stepper Weekly. As we like to say, it's the perfect way to help you get to stepping in your walk with Christ all year long. So sign up today free at boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's jump back into today's message, because Mark has more to say about loving God and carrying out His commandments.
And so here's what John says. You want to know if you love others? Here's how you know whether you love others. Notice. This is how we know that we love the children of God. There's two things. How do I know if I love the people of God and the children of God? Two things. By loving God and carrying out His commands. You say, well, what does that have to do with loving others? Well, here's what happens. When you love God, you will love the people of God. When you love God, you will start obeying the commands of God, and the commands of God are full of how to treat other people, the one another's. So I'm not asking you, do you feel a bunch of warm, fuzzy feelings for the people around you? I'm asking you, do you love God? How do I know I love God? Because He's the center of my life. He's the priority. My life revolves around Him. He's my master. He's my Lord. And I start obeying His commands. I start living the way He wants me to. Listen, you can't say I love God and live your life your own way, because really, that's a farce. It's like telling your wife, honey, I love you, I love you, I love you, and then going and having cheating on her and having affairs and getting involved with other women, and you come back, hey, but babe, I love you. And she's going to say, no, you don't. You say it, but it's not real. And here's the thing. We know that we love others. When you love God, God's going to fill you with a love for others. And when you love God, you're going to try to walk the ways of God and obey God. Why? Because you love Him. It all revolves around loving God. And this is what John tells us. John says, hey, the way that you know you're believers, you love other people by loving God and carrying out His commands. And this is love for God. You want to know how much you love God? You say, Pastor, I wish I had a thermostat that told me how much I love God. I can tell you today how to figure out how much you love God. You want to hear it? Here's what it says. This is love for God, to obey His commands. If you're not obeying God, and your life doesn't show that you're following and obeying His ways, then you really don't love God that much. You say, well, no, Pastor, see, I come in the worship time, and when the music's going and people are raising their hands, I just really get into it. I go, oh, Jesus, I love you, and I love you, God, and I just feel like I love Him so much. But then you go out and you sleep with your boyfriend, you go get high, you get a little clubbing, a little dancing, cheat, lie, and this, but you say, I really love God. No, you don't. You love a feeling that you get around the things of God, but you really don't love God. Because if you loved God, you would obey His commands. Oh, I need to say that again. I need to say that again. Some guy comes to me and says, I love my wife. I love her, Pastor. I've been married for 20 years. I love that woman. But you know, I found this other girl, you know, she's 15 years younger. We got this thing going on, and I'm just, you know, I don't want to support my wife financially anymore. I want to move in with this girl. I want to leave her. I want to divorce her, but I love her. No, you don't. You don't love her. Stop saying you love her. Because if you loved her, you'd be committed to her. Walk with her. Be faithful to her. You would show it by your actions. Don't tell me you love them and not follow through. Listen, you say, I love my kids. Listen, a lot of parents do, but if you say you love your kids, but you spend no time, you don't support them, you're not involved in your life, you don't take energy to do anything for them, you love the feeling of having kids, but you don't love your kids. So let's make it clear here. Do you really love your kids, or do you love the feeling of having kids? Because there's a difference there. And so God is saying, do you want to see how much people love me? They will show it by how much they obey me. That's how we measure how much people love God, is by obedience. It doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that you're obeying the commands. And if I want to obey God, how do I know how to follow God? How do I know? The Bible, the Word of God. So if I love God, I'm going to love His Word. I'm going to study His Word. Because I want to know what He says. I want Him to speak to me because I want to follow Him. And so people that love God love the Word of God. People that love God try to bend their life to match up with God's standards. People that love God are serious about how they walk, not just on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday as well. People that love God care about how they live and care about how they talk and care about how they walk. Why? Because they love God and they want to please God. And so they're looking at how they live their life because they love God. I once in a while run into people and they say, Pastor, I want to follow God, but man, there's a lot of stuff that I can't do. You know, I can't swear like I used to. I can't cheat like I used to. I can't party like I used to. I can't, you know, I have to be patient with my wife. I got to forgive people. I can't fly off the handle. I mean, all these rules. I got to try to go to church. I got to try to tithe. I mean, well, I don't think I'm ready for that. It's too much. Then I'm going to tell you something. You got it all wrong. Jesus said his commands are not burdensome. Let me tell you why. Because when you love someone, you naturally do the things you're supposed to do, not because there's a rule book that you're following, but because you love them. And that's why Jesus said it's not burdensome when you really love God. It's only burdensome when you stop loving God and you love yourself more than you love God, or it's religion to you, not a relationship, then it becomes burdensome.
That's a challenging reminder from Mark Jobe today. This is Bold Steps, and you can learn more about Mark and this ministry when you visit us online at boldstepsradio.org. Mark?
Well, Wayne, it's great to have in our studio with us today someone that I've known for a long time. And he was a professor, believe it or not, when I was a student here at Moody Bible Institute. In fact, he was my wife's favorite professor. I don't think I ever had a class with him, but my wife would just come back from the class and said, oh, Dr. Thrasher said this. And so we are so excited to have him here in the studio. And to talk about a topic that we talk a lot about, people feel convicted about, guilty about, oftentimes because we know we should do it, but don't really know how to do it that well, and that's prayer. Dr. Thrash, you want to tell us a little bit why you think this is such a struggle for so many people?
Well, you know, I think we ignore the divine help. I can talk maybe another time just about, I'm not talking down at anybody when I title it How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life. I'm really talking about my own experience. But there are five commands in relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. But the fifth one, I discovered I knew the least about. Pray in the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a personal assistant. We aren't in this by ourselves. So to open one's life up to the Spirit, my life was changed by that. As a college student, I can talk about that. But also in God's great providence, when I came to Wheaton to teach here, I ended up living there in the Wheaton Towers on the second floor of that 20-story building. But on the 19th floor was Dr. Stephen Olford. And I owe a great debt to him. In regard, because he so wonderfully articulated various themes of the Christian life. And I remember these are the words he used, and I've used them for many years myself. This is something that God commands you to be filled with the Spirit. As strong a command is not to be drunk with wine. And he said, be open to God's Spirit. Are you open to God's Spirit? Fear is usually why we're not. Are you dependent upon God's Spirit? Sort of three stages of the Christian life that Andrew Murray used to say, that first stage is, I can do it. Second stage is, I can't do it. And so I'm not letting anybody set me up to make any resolution, make any commitment. But the third stage, I can't do it, but I must do it, and I'm going to trust God to do it.
I love that. Focus on, we're not in this alone. The Holy Spirit is who empowers us to pray. So excited about this book, How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life.
So let us send you a copy today by requesting this Bold Step gift when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps. Just call us at 800-DL-MOODY. That's 800-356-6639. Or give online and request the book How to Resurrect a Dead Prayer Life when you go to boldstepsradio.org. Or, as always, you can send your donation and request this gift in the mail. Write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610.
And then before we go today, remember you can listen to Mark each weekday right here in your local radio station and 24/7 on our website. Bold Steps is even available through the Moody Radio app or through podcast apps like Apple or Google Play. To learn more about the variety of ways you can listen, go online to boldstepsradio.org or connect with us on either Instagram or Facebook or both. To learn more about the variety of ways you can listen, go online to boldstepsradio.org or connect with us on either Instagram or Facebook or both. Just type in Bold Steps, like us there, and get to know our team outside the program. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again tomorrow when we'll learn about the three witnesses that provide the evidence of your Christian walk. It's the conclusion to today's message called Spiritual Evidence. It's coming up Tuesday here on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.